3 and 2 with one out. Alvarez not running. And McNeil socks one to deep right field toward the stands. It's out of here! Jeff McNeil dropping the bat hand and lining a 2-run homer to put the Mets back in front. 12 home runs for the year for McNeil. 7 since the All-Star break, and it's 3-2 New York.
Breaking ball has got the spin already built in. It's slower, so it gets him to the poolside. You take the shortcut. And Jeff knew it when he hit it. Nice dismount.
We're back. You know, Jeff McNeil has been this dilemma, I think, and more so than we could even imagine since he came up. You know, he came up with a bang in 2018, hit really well after his call-up late in the season, and it was actually a discussion when the Mets were in Seattle a couple of weeks ago when he was almost part of the Diaz deal. And I do remember that. I do remember the outrage. It was almost like the Mets floated it to see how the fans would react. And when the fans reacted crazily, myself included, I was more about saving McNeil in the deal than Kelnick. A lot of people probably would have been the opposite at that time because everybody, you know, loved, you know, it was St. Kelnick at that point. And fortunately, the Mets didn't put McNeil in that deal and knew that he would have value and there'd be a way to with his versatility, to find a spot for him on the field. And then we've talked about this a lot, so if you're a longtime listener, I'm probably boring you, but you guys know the guys look like Pete Rose at times, and the guys look like Daniel Murphy at other times. And he wins a batting title in 2022 looking more like Pete Rose, and he's had these stretches where he's shown power, and he's looked like Daniel Murphy. Now, maybe not Daniel Murphy, or he has looked like Daniel Murphy, who was an MVP candidate with the Nats, but we're talking 2015, Daniel Murphy, second half, good power, constantly driving the ball in the gaps. And that's kind of the hitter that we've seen since the All-Star break. Now, we know, and we talked about it, everybody was ready to throw, and I was getting frustrated with McNeil myself because I even said, you know, hey, it might be time to bring up Acuña. Everybody gets on my case. Acuña Jr., Acuña. I got to say it with the proper little, you know, dialect here. Is that the right word? But anyway, I was saying, hey, give Acuña a chance to come up. And Iglesias obviously has played really well since he was called up and really in a lot of ways helped this offense in more ways than one when McNeil was doing his best Joey Wendell impression. But since the All-Star break, and I know a lot of his power came right out of the break against Miami, McNeil has morphed into a different type of hitter. And a hitter that I agree with the masses on this. I don't quite understand why Carlos Mendoza elected to bunt in the ninth inning. Getting into that real quick, bunting, and I know the debate is they would have wound up walking Lindor and what have you, and look, the more runners on base, the better, right? You had Vientos up right after him. Maybe Mendoza was okay with Vientos up with the bases loaded. I'd rather see Lindor up and swing the bat. But on top of that, I don't subscribe as much to bunting over to tie the game. If it was a tie game and that was the winning run, I would have been more okay with the McNeil bunt than with them down a run. But I also add in the fact that McNeil, who hit a home run on Friday and has been swinging the bat well, I think you just took him way out of that at bat, and I think it's hard with two strikes then for him to recalibrate and just be Jeff McNeil after he's tried to bunt. And let's face it, bunting has been taken out of the game. It's not like back in the day where you would see guys bunt throughout the game. I mean, starting pitchers, if they had to hit again, they just tomorrow said, let's take away the DH and let starting pitchers hit. I mean, none of these guys would know how to bunt. It would be ugly. It'd be awful. I mean, you would see so many automatic outs. It's not even funny, but that's not going to happen. Trust me at that point. So anyway, Jeff McNeil had a down year last year, a down first 3 months, first half really this year. And now he's come back, and it really got me to thinking, well, who is this guy? Well, first off, if you look at last year, McNeil struggled against lefties, and in the second half, really once the Mets were out of it, quietly he had a good August and September, showed a lot of the same traits that he's shown now, hitting for power, driving the ball, being more of a 260, 270 hitter with a little bit of pop. I'm not just talking about home runs, I'm talking about doubles. And not necessarily being Pete Rose, but being more like how Daniel Murphy was. I mean, it's ironic that Murph was watching the game on Friday and McNeil hit a home run. And some people have speculated that when Murphy came and spoke to McNeil a couple of weeks ago when he was doing a ball game, that, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. Who knows? I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter at this point. So when you look at McNeil's season, yes, he even talked about how he got away from trying to spray the ball all around. Maybe now that there's no shifts, and maybe he was intentionally just playing pepper, and with that kind of situation, you saw constant 4-3s and pop-ups. It was almost a joke at some point. But if you really dive into McNeil's season, part of the issue McNeil has had, and there's some crazy outliers, is he's hitting .203 at Citi Field. If you look at McNeil on the road, and this is for the whole season, it's not like the Mets have had an excessive amount of road games since the All-Star break. McNeil for the year on the road is hitting .277, a .330 on-base percentage, a .495 slugging, an .825 OPS. 10 home runs, 23 RBIs in 54 games. So he's played 7 more games at home to date. To me, that's who Jeff McNeil really is. Let's put all the BS aside. Let's throw away the first half of 2019 and how he hit about, what, 360 that year. Let's even look at 2022 when he didn't show a lot of power, although he had 39 doubles that year, so I shouldn't say that. He was a doubles machine that year. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit, but he hit .326 that year, won the batting title, had a .380 on-base percentage. Now, maybe that's not exactly the hitter anymore now that there's no shifts that he could be. He could be a guy that it could hit .260 to .280, drive the ball, hit some doubles, pop, you know, maybe 15 home runs, drive in 55, 60 runs, be versatile and play good defense pretty much, whether it's the corner outfielder or the middle infield. And guess what? If Nimmo's going to be out for any length of time, they're going to need him. And he almost made a really good throw to cut down that runner, and I think he would have been out if Alvarez would have caught the ball. It was a tough play in general, but he almost made a throw. So there is value, and he signed to a reasonable contract. So before we all throw him in the ocean, Jeff McNeil, who hits like Joey Wendell, is overpaid. But even at that point, because of his versatility, because he, you know, could be an expensive bench player, it wasn't like you're ready just to throw him away and designate him for assignment like everybody wanted. So the question now is, who is Jeff McNeil and who will he be going forward? And I think this version is the guy that he probably is. And then you have to wonder, well, is he a guy that you hit down in the lineup? Is he better hitting at other parts of the lineup? And that's a and that's a fair point. And then I'm, you know, I could bring him up here and we could take a quick look at it. But this year, batting eighth is kind of like his best spot. So when he bats seventh or eighth, it seems like he provides some power to the bottom of the lineup. He provides some life to the bottom of the lineup. And he could be almost this run producer in the bottom third. And to me, that, and we'll see what happens if Nimmo's out, where they bat him. To me, there's a lot of value there. Because going forward, I think, as the Mets, and I'm not ready to look to 2025. I'm not waving the white flag here. But any good, and what we do here is we try to be, just like we play armchair GM, we try to do that here. While you're sitting here and competing for a playoff spot in 2024, you want to look long term. You like a lot of what you see out of Harrison Bader. You know Stearns loves defense. McNeil provides you a glove. Bader's a really good glove up the middle. And who knows? I don't think Bader is a guy that you could count on to be as good offensively year in and year out as he's been this year. He's about league average, but still he's been, in some cases, much greater than that for periods. You know that if you're going to sacrifice some offense for defense, and that's something that very well Stearns would do in certain spots, like center field, you're going to need in that bottom third of the order some kind of life. Right now, Alvarez doesn't provide it. Alvarez has looked more and more like an arm and a game caller and a leader and an energy guy for the pitcher behind the plate. He does not block balls well. And guess what? He ain't hitting any much better than Tomas Nito. What he's giving you with the bat, you could have gotten by keeping Tomas Nito. And it makes you wonder, and I'm not going to get deep into this, but it might be something that we examine at some point, especially, I mean, they're not going to do it, But could he use some time in AAA to work on his bat? Just like Brett Beatty, who seems to be, and we'll see if it's a 4A situation, who seems to be coming around in a big-time way. Again, not advocating for that. It's not going to happen. So don't get all crazy and start sending me emails saying you're an idiot. I'm not going to listen to your show anymore. Just saying, it's something. Sometimes thoughts come to your head, even if they're passing, and you could throw them, you know, those thoughts come in the garbage. But every thought has legitimacy to at least give it some credence, even if it's for 30 seconds. And that was one. So you look at McNeil, and at this point, maybe he's falling into this Daniel Murphy-ish type of guy. And if you look at Murph, and I'll bring his stats up, and I'm not saying he's going to be Murphy, who's the MVP candidate from his 16 and 17 Nats days. But if he can give you a 111 OPS plus, a 280 batting average, you know, 15 home runs, 75 RBIs, look at what Murphy did in 2015. Play multiple positions. He'll play them, unlike Murphy, really well. I mean, shoot, I'm the Mets. I start telling McNeil, get a first baseman's mix, you know, see what you could do at short. I know he could play all three outfield positions. He's even talked about being able to play center field. There is a tremendous amount of value with the player like that. To me, that's maybe where he's going. So we have to start looking at him differently. Maybe we don't look at him as a core offensive player anymore. We look at him as a, you know, really good component player, can play all different positions. He's only going to be making a little under $16 million the next 3 years. They have a team option in 2027, so maybe you get two more years out of him, and if it's still not what you like, you could just buy him out for a couple of million. And, I mean, I'll tell you what, everybody who doesn't like McNeil, and there might be talk about trading McNeil this offseason, you know that that's going to come up. There are teams that would probably take Jeff McNeil off your hands, and don't be surprised, one of them is across town. I mean, I even, and you guys know who are subscribers to Beyond the Mic, I advocated maybe, hey, think about trading him to the Yankees, because Francesa brought it up, if you remember. He was trying to steal McNeil from the Mets for a minor league pitcher, probably nobody of substance. And I said, well, you know, McNeil's got some money left on his contract. Do you trade him for DJ LeMahieu? If you really want to get a minor league pitcher from the Yankees, see who's there, so on and so forth. I mean, he'd be a great fit for the Yankee offense. He's better than DJ LeMahieu, who's a decline. For a while, he looked very similar. So, no, I don't think McNeil has become Joey Wendell, but I think he has to figure out whatever he's done since the All-Star break, if he's changed his approach, whatever. And all year, you kept hearing about the metrics that his line drive rate, his hard hit rate was solid. You kept hearing that. So if all that's in place, maybe it was just approach. Maybe McNeil was trying to be, and I'm using this term, I'm not saying he was trying to figure out how to be Pete Rose and win a batting title every year. Just try to hit the ball hard. If it means you're going to hit 270 with a 111 OPS plus with 15 home runs and 75 RBIs, that's not really Pete Rose-esque in his prime. It's not Rod Carew. It's not like the crazy numbers you put up in the first half of 2019. Maybe it won't even be as good as the 140 OPS plus you put up when you won the batting title in 2022. But with the versatility, the defense, with the run production, it's a damn good player, and I'm okay with that player, especially if you're asking him to be in the bottom third of the lineup, play multiple positions, and give some pizzazz to a third of the lineup that, if let's say you bring Bader back and you still, because right now Alvarez is a guy that profiles very much as a bottom third hitter, or whoever his backup is, Torrens or whoever, that's a bottom third that right now needs McNeil because, let's face it, a little bit easier for a pitcher to navigate that bottom third if you don't have McNeil and you have somebody else who can't hit or hits in the same bandwidth as an Alvarez or a Bader. So anyway, some thoughts on Jeff McNeil. Surprised as hell about his Citi Field numbers. Is that an outlier? I'd love for somebody to ask, a reporter to ask. I'll probably tweet it out. They'll steal it. They'll do a column. Nobody will give me credit. But you know you heard it here first, those who are loyal listeners to the Talking Mets podcast. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to wrap up with a final segment. The league is acting like the government. They're trying to get involved, stick their nose into things, and even though they have good ideas and good intentions, you know it's going to screw things up and make it worse. Well, now they weren't happy with just messing around with the stolen bases in the bullpen. They want to mess around with the starting pitcher, too. We'll talk about that and wrap up right after this.